Gentlemen and ladies, animal and beast, open your ears for the feast of celebrating our death to ignorance, with today's episode, Our Friend CO2, Part 3. Hello and welcome. I'm your voice-relaxing host, Bill Jones. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by the non-PC cartoon site, Toonsberg, your home for laughter. What Toonsberg podcasts are to the ears, Toonsberg cartoons are to the eyes. Delicious, yet non-fattening, eye candy. Today's festivities will consist of Uno, Zwei, Trois, Si, Go. Or in English, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, 5 very simple questions. Let's assume for the sake of argument that our first two episodes on Our Friend CO2, Part 1 and 2, were totally and completely wrong. But you know they weren't. Now, question number uno. That's Spanish for one. If I had a magical device here, and could easily and immediately control the world's temperature to any degree you would like, what do you think would be the ideal yearly world temperature, and why? Here's the big problem. If you ask this question to scientists, the answers will vary by at least several degrees. Since there are such wide variations in ideal temperatures, who is right and who is wrong? Here's the crazy part. If scientists can't agree within several degrees upon the ideal world average temperature, what would NASA have to say about this? NASA says between February 2016 and February 2018, the global average temperatures dropped by 0.56 degrees Celsius or centigrade. This is the biggest two-year drop in the past century. A 0.56 degrees Celsius drop is the biggest two-year drop in the past 100 years. And scientists can't agree within plus or minus 5 degrees? Simply insane. Question number 5. That's German for number 2. If we can't agree on an ideal world temperature, why on earth are so many politicians and special interest groups trying to control the climate through CO2 emissions, while totally ignoring the uncontrollable variables mainly responsible for global climate change, such as the sun, the moon, oceans, and volcanoes? The answer is actually quite simple. The United Nations and the New World Order want the money and the power to control the masses, as they don't want the populace to think logically, critically, and scientifically. They hope, and they've largely succeeded, in shutting down any dialogue regarding climate change. To many liberals, yelling, "Fire! Fire!" in a crowded movie theater is better than saying, "The science doesn't support man-made CO2 causing climate change to any significant degree." In fact, liberals and the left often use smear and character assassination tactics straight out of the book called Rules for Radicals from the late Saul Alinsky, who, in his dedication page to the book, praised his role model, Lucifer, that is, Satan. Liberals and the left often try to shut down the dialogue through ridicule, targeting, and polarization. They say things such as, "Most agree that CO2, blah, 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 blah." Or maybe you've even been gored by Gore's "The Science is Settled." No, it isn't, Albert Arnold Jr. No, it isn't settled. The science is not settled. Saying that the science is settled when it is not true science. True science is never based on consensus. True science is always, always, always based upon observation, question formation, gathering information, forming a hypothesis and testing it, making conclusions, reporting, and evaluating. Anything other than this is not science, but rather speculation. Again, there's nothing of value with consensus with true science. Question number trois. That's French for three. If I say that I can juggle three machetes, four balls, and ride a unicycle, yet I don't demonstrate these skills to you, can you prove that I cannot do these things? The answer is no. No, you cannot prove that I cannot do these things. Should the assumption then be that I can do all or some of these things? Of course not. This is insanity. By the way, I can do all of the above and do so in my shows at orphanages and other charity events. When making a claim, the burden of proof is on those who make the claim and not on those who are trying to refute the claim. If I make an assertion, it is up to me to demonstrate that I can do these things, not upon the others to prove that I cannot do these things, which is impossible. Question number si. That's Mandarin Chinese for four. Do you think we should try our best to help reduce CO2 emissions? If no, relax and enjoy watching the others squirm now, as some of them will try to slither away. If yes, then please never use the air conditioning in the summer, nor heaters in the winter. Please don't take any CO2-producing public transportation or drive your own cars. If you walk or ride a bicycle, try not to exhale so much, as every time you exhale, you're putting CO2 into the atmosphere. Air transportation is also a big no-no. So the next time you want to visit Europe or Asia, take the slow boat and relax, knowing that you'll be reducing your CO2 emissions or carbon footprint, and you'll arrive at your ideal destination in several months. Question number go. That's Japanese for five. Do you think the world would be better off with global cooling, a cycle we're now in, once again, according to NASA, between February 2016 and February 2018, global average temperatures dropped by 0.56 degrees Celsius. This is the biggest two-year drop in the past century. Or do you believe we're better off with global warming? I suspect your answer to the above depends upon whether you prefer cold weather fruits and vegetables or warm weather fruit and vegetables. This concludes our brief three-part series on CO2, and stay tuned to our next episode, in which we will really cause some brain pain for anyone who is not logical and who cannot think critically. This is your host and cartoonist, Bill Jones of Toonsburg, saying goodbye until next time, and to all of our CO2 exhaling listeners, both human and beast, keep on exhaling because CO2 is not a pollutant. CO2 is necessary for life.